If you will, turn with me to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. We will take our reading from verse 1 all the way to verse 13. Listen to this. This is God's very word to you. Now, when the Pharisees gathered to him with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands properly, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is korban, that is, given to God,' then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do." Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that you have sent Christ, that you have sent him to redeem us from our sins and from our sinful ideas about your word. We ask now that you will open your word to us, that we will receive and rest in this one who has come to deliver us. We ask this in his name. Amen. We don't like the Pharisees very much. We really can't stand them if we're honest about it. We have it so ingrained in us, even from our childhood, that the Pharisees were wicked men who did all of these just horrendous things to the law of God. And then, in having Christ crucified, we don't like the Pharisees, and we rightly shouldn't, but if we're honest, each of you, each of us, has a little Pharisee in our hearts. We have a little Pharisee that tries to do the very thing these Pharisees did. You recognize this, don't you? You understand this, I hope. Let me bring it home a little bit for you. How do you define sin? We know the shorter catechism answer, that sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. But let me press this a little more. How do you define sin, that want of conformity or that transgression of the law of God? Is that an outward action? Or is that a condition wherein you find yourself? Be careful how you answer. Think about it, but be careful before you give an answer, lest you find yourself in the camp of the Pharisees. You see, the Pharisees defined sin strictly as outward action. Only those things which are seen by other people, that is sin. Now, they wouldn't say that if you pressed them, much like many of you wouldn't say that if I pressed you. You would say, no, it's any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. But your actions show differently. Let me bring it to you this way. You young people, even you, the youngest of you, have a little Pharisee even in your heart. Your parents tell you to clean your room, and well, you want to do it so you can get along with things that you know that you really would rather be doing anyway. And so you hide a little of this under your bed and sweep a little of this under your rug and tuck a little of this away in the back of the closet. And you say to your mom or your dad, "I've cleaned my room." Have you? You know what they mean by cleaning your room. You know what they want. You know what they expect. And yet you do what you can to make it appear as if you have done what they asked. And you really haven't done what they've asked. Now, this isn't just for children. This is for you. For those of us who are older, let me help you. Do you see that little bit of Pharisee in your own heart? Are you better than so-and-so that you know for a fact that they have committed X, Y, and Z? You've never done that. You wouldn't be caught dead doing such a thing. Are you better than they are? Let me push it just a little more. Let me bring it more into our circle. Does God love you more because you had your quiet time yesterday than He does if you didn't have your quiet time yesterday? Now, these are all questions to make us think. The trouble is, we wouldn't say that these are the ways that we think. These are the ways that we really believe. But when it comes down to it, we really think that God is more pleased with our outward actions than with how we really treat His law. You young people, with the cleaning of your room, you know that your parents don't see all of the dirt, but you're violating God's command, not being obedient to your parents. Those of us who have this wrong understanding of sin, we are just like the Pharisees. That's what they're doing here in this text. They want to look as if they are fulfilling the commandments of God. Before the eyes of men, they are doing just that. Fulfilling the commandments of God. As a matter of fact, they were pillars in the community, and everyone looked up to them as godly examples because they had it all in a row. All their ducks just marched wonderfully, pleasantly in a row, and they had it together. That's what they're doing here. I mean, think about this juxtaposition of this text. Christ has just healed sick people. And we know from the parable, from the story of the Good Samaritan, that the Pharisees and the scribes wouldn't even come near sick, afflicted, downtrodden people who weren't like them. We know that. And so yet they claim to be doing what God asks of them, fulfilling the law. Well, this text sort of sorts that out for us. The text is actually verses 1 through 23, but that's quite a bit to take up in one day. So we're going to look at verses 1 through 13. And in this text, we see that Jesus demonstrates that hypocrisy. You know hypocrisy. People who say that they're one thing, but they're really another. Well, true hypocrisy, ultimate hypocrisy, is to take the name of the Lord on our lips while having our hearts far from Him. Now, that's not just here in worship. That's in everyday life. We take the name of Christ on our lips. We call ourselves Christians, but are our hearts far from Him? We're going to see this in 2 points then. We're going to see, firstly, the misunderstanding of others' defilement by the leaders of the law. They thought everyone else was defiled. The misunderstanding of defilement by the leaders of the law, or of others' defilement by the leaders of the law. And secondly, the understanding of their defilement by the giver of the law. The understanding of their defilement by the giver of the law. So let's look at this misunderstanding of others' defilement by the leaders of the law. Verse 1. Now, when the Pharisees had gathered to him with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. Now, this misunderstanding is exhibited, firstly, then, in their attention to fault finding that comes from the tradition of the law. You young people, mostly little boys, that think you might have an out here, that you don't have to bathe, that's not what's happening. Christ is actually going against a false tradition that is setting itself up against the law of God. And so here we see that they have this misunderstanding, and so they are strictly seeking to find fault with others who are defiled by other things outside of them. Now, these are the same, the Pharisees and scribes that we saw back in chapter 3 that were already starting to dislike Christ. They don't like Him. He has come. He is doing things that are against their tradition. He set right their understanding of the Sabbath, if you remember. Jesus has already had a few showdowns. These are the same guys. He's healed the man with the withered hand, and they didn't like it. Again, had that showdown with them on the Sabbath. And then we see that Jesus was angered over their hardness of hearts, and they're angered because the crowd followed Him. And so they accuse Him of working miracles by Beelzebul. And so these are those guys. These are that very same group that came down from Jerusalem. They're now coming to investigate Jesus according to the traditions of the elders, of men. So they see Christ, and so they come up next to Him, and they want to make friendly with Him. And then, as soon as something comes up, they say, "We notice that your disciples, they don't wash their hands according to the tradition." It's quite obvious from this that their opinion of Christ has not changed. It hasn't changed about Him since chapter 3 when they were already disgusted with Him. They were always looking for something that someone else was doing wrong. You see, these men, they were supposed to understand the law most. They didn't get it. And here's where your inner Pharisee comes out sometimes, if you're honest. You're always looking for someone else's sin instead of dealing with your own. The disciples weren't even in sin. They were just acting against the tradition of the elders. But these men thought they were in sin, and they would rather deal with someone else's sin than to deal with their own. And so they have this attention to fault finding. They think that sinfulness and defilement is always in someone else who needs correction. Does this ring home? Perhaps you're here this morning because you say to yourself, "You know, my spouse really needs to hear what's wrong with them. They really need to be here. And if they're not here, I'm going to get a recording of whatever is wrong with them and take it back to them." Is that you this morning? Is your attention always on someone else's sin? You're treading on thin ice, as my mom used to say. These Pharisees were always looking at someone else's sin. Perhaps you're thinking of someone who needs to hear this when it's really you. If you're always looking for someone else who needs to hear, your inner Pharisee is shining. You might want to cover that up. You might want to get rid of it. Christ is there. They're about to eat. And these men, they have these laws about hand washing, this ceremonial hand washing, which brings us to the next part of this. They have a wrong idea that defilement comes from things outside. They have this idea that if they went to the marketplace and they bumped up against a Gentile, they were defiled. If they touched something that was unclean in their eyes, it made them unclean. And so they say to Jesus, or they see that the disciples do not eat with hands that are washed. They're defiled. And verse 3 says, the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands properly. The word is actually, they wash the fist. It's not that they wash their hands for hygienic reasons. It's that they actually are just going through the ceremonial ritual. They take a little water and they sprinkle it over the top of their hands. This hand's not defiled. They take a little more water and sprinkle it over the top of this hand. And now this hand is not defiled. Just in case they bumped into something. See, they think about this ceremonial hand washing. It's not hygiene. It's ritual purity. In case they touch something sinful out there. Do you think that sin is out there? Do you think that defilement is out there? And so the best thing for us to do then is to make sure it doesn't touch us. That's why we don't reach out to that neighbor who's not quite like us. He may smell a little different. He may not even be clean the way we think he ought to be clean. We don't want him to get on to us. We don't want his defilement on us. That's the inner Pharisee. And so they think that washing their hands with this is going to cleanse them. Sinfulness, defilement is always external to them, but not just their hands. They think they've got to wash every dish in this ceremonial way. Verse 4 says, when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, baptize. And there are many other traditions, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. They go through and they sprinkle water on everything, just in case they may have missed something. They don't want to defile it. Everything is outside of them. Is this how you view defilement? Because if it is, you need to understand that defilement, Jesus is going to show us next week, doesn't come from without. It's already on board. You're born with it. It's there. And so the Pharisees, they think everything is external. They just can't be touched by those defiling things. They don't want to come near them. And so they ritualistically cleanse them so that they don't put any of that gross defilement into their bodies. We see this in our day. I mean, it still happens that people think that defilement is out there. They hold themselves up in communes. You've heard of monks. You know about the Amish. You know, they're quaint people that we go visit. You know, when we take a trip to Pennsylvania, we'll stop in their restaurant. We're fascinated that they don't have television and power, etc. The reason they've done that is because they think that you might taint them with your defilement. That's what they think. That's why they pulled themselves away, and they are modern Pharisees. But so are you if you think that your defilement comes from out there. And that's what Jesus is going to show them. See, tie that back into our text. The Pharisees looked at sin and defilement as primarily external actions and unclean people. If you view sin as an external action only, you never touch the matter of your heart. And Jesus is going to press this upon them, and He's going to press it upon you. Because if you wish to be delivered, it's not simply from those external actions. It's from that wicked, sinful heart out of which springs the issues of life. You need a new heart, not new actions. Because with the new heart will come new actions. It's not out there, it's in here. And so that's what Jesus is interested in showing them. That's what we see from this text. These people have this wrong idea about defilement. And we see they have a wrong idea about defilement from their question to Jesus. Verse 5, "And the Pharisees and the scribes asked Him, 'Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but they eat with defiled hands?'" They don't ask about God's law. I mean, here is Christ, God incarnate, the one who exemplifies the law. It is His moral attributes that make up this law. It's His moral will. And instead of asking Him about the law, how they ought to rightly interpret it, I mean, they already know what He's done. They know about the healing. They know, obviously, He's walked on water. That has spread by now. He's raised the dead. He's done all sorts of things. He is one claiming that He can forgive sins. They know that He is saying something about Himself. That He is God incarnate, the giver of the law. And yet they say, "Why do your disciples not wash their hands according to the tradition of the elders?" They've missed the mark. Here is the giver of the law, and they ask Him about the tradition of the elders. Now, is Jesus bucking tradition for tradition's sake? Are traditions bad? That's not what's being said here. Traditions are not bad as long as they are in accordance with Scripture. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for worship. Is that bad? Would Jesus come in and toss us all out and say, "Come back next week at 9:37 in the morning"? No, He wouldn't. He is against their tradition because they have set up their tradition against the law of God. And that's what we see in verses 7 through 13. We see Christ giving us the understanding of their defilement and ours because He is the giver of the law. In verses 6 through 13, He says to the Pharisees who now ask Him about these defiled hands, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the traditions of men." And He said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die.' But you say, 'If a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is korban, that is, given to God or an offering, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and many such things you do.'" Jesus demonstrates their hypocrisy. And their hypocrisy is making defilement merely external conformity to the law. That's what he says in verses 6 through 8. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Is that you? Do you honor God? Do you take His name upon you? Do you say, yes, I am a Christian, but you live in ungodliness? Now, when I say ungodliness, I don't mean in the wicked ways of the world. I mean ungodliness in that you never think of Him. In that He is not your first thought and your last thought as He was the psalmist. You see, these men took the commandments of God. They knew them. It's said that many of the Pharisees actually had memorized the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. They knew it. They could quote it. And yet God was never in their thoughts and on their hearts. Their heart was far from Him. You see, they weren't really concerned with the law. They were concerned with their tradition and with appearances. And to keep up appearances, they set their tradition against the Scripture. They think that their biggest need is to appear clean before the eyes of other men. And so they've added to the law their traditions. You know, in the Old Testament, there are only three places for ritualistic hand washing and purity. Three places, three instances where it would occur. It would occur for priests who are going in. It would occur for Israelites who had a discharge of some sort. And it would occur for elders after a special sacrifice. And the Pharisees had written 30 volumes on ritual washings, and four of those volumes were on how to wash your hands. Now, do you see the difference between what God has commanded and what these men have set up in order to appear righteous before the eyes of the men? We do this. We set up external standards that God has not done so that we might appear righteous. There's this old saying that I don't drink or chew or date girls who do. That was an old standard that was set up by the fundamentalists in early days. They have them still. You understand that anything that is not founded in Scripture but is given as law, as given as a commandment, is the traditions of men, and it is actually opposed to the law. We have something called in the Westminster Confession a chapter on the liberty of conscience, chapter 20. Now, it's not saying you can do whatever you want to do because we're in Christ. No, it's saying that God has freed us from the opinions and traditions of men that we might follow Him with all our heart. That's your liberty of conscience, that you might follow Him with your whole heart. Chapter 20. Read it this afternoon. It'll be very devotional for you. Christ is revealing their hypocrisy that they have added to. They have added to His law. And here again, the Holy One of Israel is standing before them and they presume to question Him. And He's the undefiled one. He's not made unclean by others. He touched a leper and the leper became clean. He didn't become unclean. He healed a woman with the issue of blood. He wasn't made unclean. She was made clean. And here they dare to question Him because they think defilement is purely external. But He shows their hypocrisy even more in that they use their tradition to circumvent the law. Verses 9 through 13, he lays it out for them. They reject the commandment of God so that people might do what they wish instead of honoring their mother and father. But that's only one way. He says, and many such things you do. They had set up these standards to protect themselves so that they didn't feel that they actually broke the law. You must not go to movies because people might see you there and they might think that you're going to a bad movie. But it's okay if you rent them and watch them in your home. There have been many such external standards added, even in our day, in order to protect the law instead of getting at the heart. If you wanted to watch that movie that's not so good anyway, you have a heart issue. That's the point here. These men did not want to honor God and His law. They wanted to be lifted up in the eyes of men. And Jesus is getting at that. It's very much like a child who cleans his room but doesn't really clean. He only wants it to look clean. And so through their tradition, they've allowed themselves to disobey God. They say, "Father, Mother, whatever you would have had from me is Corban." Now, we don't know what this means. We read this and we go, "What does this mean?" Well, this is what it means for something to have been Corban. The Pharisees set up their tradition so that when someone said that their gift to their parents was Corban, it meant that it was then withdrawn from them and no longer available to them. It was an offering. It was then taken and dedicated, but not necessarily dedicated to God or to the temple. It just didn't prohibit the person themselves from using it. So instead of honoring their mother and father and taking care of them in their latter days when they could no longer work, they would say, "This is Corban. It's now dedicated. It's not specifically dedicated to anything, and so I can use it however I want." And so if they did want to back out of this oath, if someone who had said, "Father, Mother, the gift that I give you is Corban. I'm giving it over to God in the rest of my life." If they wanted to back out of that, the scribes would actually say, no, you can't do that. It was a lawful oath. You're under contract to do it. You must violate the law of God to take on this oath. That's what happened. And Jesus is exposing the hypocrisy of taking His name upon your lips and having a heart that is far from Him. We read in Psalm chapter 112 for our call to worship that man is blessed who loves the commandments of the Lord. That man is blessed, the Scripture says, who follows them. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in His commandments. That comes from a new heart, not from externals. You see, the Pharisees delighted in the traditions of men, not in the law of God. This morning, you might be here and you go, "I'm not a Pharisee. I really don't think I'm a Pharisee, but let me ask you, are there things you've set up to guard yourself so that you might not defile yourself?" Things that are extra biblical, rather than relying on the means of grace, you say, "You know what? I'm just going to say all movies are sinful," or "All alcohol is forbidden in Scripture. It's just not there. It's sinful." And so you set up these walls that are not found in Scripture. Is that you? Do you play like you're cleaning your room? You hide things away nicely so that when someone comes and looks, you're okay. It looks clean. But if they were to look closer, they would see a tag sticking out from under the bed from where you've just shoved it under. Is that you? If it is, you must turn to Christ. He has come to free us from that mindset. Your love from God is not contingent upon what you do or have done. As we've already sang, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, forgiveness receives. Your standing before God is not based on what you do. It's based on what Christ has done. Are you resting in and receiving Him, not your performance of your own standards? Let's pray.